Weren't you glad that's a true statement in that song? Talked to several and know of several that are going through a rough patch, just a hard time in life. Several in our church are just seem like one after another, issues and hardships, and what a blessed hope we have to know that our future is much brighter than this old world. And heaven will, it's been said many times, but it's such a true statement, heaven will fix it all. And the reality is, though, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. The devil will try his best to convince us that this is just how life will be from here on. When you're in a low spot, a down time in your life, storms coming one after another. But I promise you, the sun will shine again in your life. And God knows exactly where you are, so don't listen to the devil and the lies that he will tell you and try to tell you this is as good as it gets, because it will get better farther along. And so thank you for the good singing. Let's take our Bibles this evening and go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And we'll try not to re-preach what we dealt with this morning, but we do want to read the scripture together. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 37. Preaching on the subject, the kind of people that our church needs. I hope that you want to be one of these kind of people, or all of these points we'll deal with. That should be our heart's desire. If we're okay with being just average, well, then we'll just be an average church. But I hope you want to have more than just the average run-of-the-mill church. How many people would say amen to the fact that's what you want? Better than average. Above the norm church. That's what our community needs. That's what sinners need. They need more than just the normal average church. And we all say amen to that. That's what we want. Amen. We want that. Well, that's the easy part, is wanting it. I'm not trying to be controversial at all, but I wonder how many of us was telling the truth when we said that I want that. Because if we want it, the truth of it is you are the church. I am the church. And then if we want a better than average church, then we got to be better than average Christians. We are the body that make up the church. We're the believers. Amen. And if we was to ride by, well, it's dark out there now, but if you was to ride by in the morning and look at the front of the church, it's a beautiful building, and those stone columns out there, boy, they just stand out, and they're pretty to look at, beautiful. And if one of them, somebody come up here in the middle of the night and took a chisel and just chiseled that stone, beat it to pieces and spray painted it and put graffiti all over it, it wouldn't just be that one stone that was an eyesore. It would affect the whole appearance of the building. We are the stones that make up the body and the building of the Lord. And so it should behoove all of us to to have clean lives, to have the appearance. A good Bible word is to have our communication. That's not just our speech, that's our lifestyle. That is pleasing to the Lord first and foremost, but that is attractive to the world. And average ain't that appealing to most people. Average, you can go right on by and never skip a beat. But you write about something that's above average, something that stands out, grabs your attention. It's unique. It's different than what you're used to seeing. That's what our church needs to be. And it's if that's going to be the case, it's going to be made up of people who are above average and people who are unique. So let's look at this, the kind of people our church needs. Verse 37, Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, as I said this morning, that's Peter preaching, and when he got done preaching, as we'll read in just a minute, over 3,000 people come to Christ, got saved. And when they said, well, what do we do in response to the preaching? They said, well, what do we do? How do we get in on it? And he said, repent and believe for the remission of your sin. And that's to lost people. And I'm dealing with the kind of people that we need in our church. And I want to say to you, I didn't say this morning, and I should have, but first and foremost, before you can ever be any of the other parts of the message we're going to deal with, you first have to be part of the church. You first have to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You can have your name on the roll book of the church and not be in the church. That, I hope that you get what I'm saying. Being a member of Morningstar Baptist Church does not make you a member of the church. I had somebody come to me this morning and say they wanted to join the church and become a member of our church, and we'll deal with that in just a little bit. But I want to, on purpose, repeat myself. Being a church member, and you'd be amazed at how many people think and go through life believing because they are a good standing member of a church, that they are well on their way to heaven. And I want you to be a member of the church, but I'd much rather you be a member of the church, the church that Jesus is building and promised that he would build, than to be a member of this local body of believers. I heard this said years ago, and I thought it was so good. Going to church or being a church, it don't make you a Christian no more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It don't work that way. If you want to be part of the church, then you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sin. And so you can't skip that part. You can't just join in. You know who did that? You know who just yoked up with Jesus and with the believers and started walking and following and for years adapted his lifestyle, mimicked, talked the way they talked, prayed the way they prayed. Listen to Jesus pray. Listen to Jesus preach for years. And bypassed that first step of repenting of not just what he had done, but who he was. A sinner coming to grips with the reality that I am who God says I am. A sinner. You can't just yoke up and start. And that was Judas. And you know how that ended. He betrayed Jesus. And Jesus had been better for him than never been born. What a statement. And I say to you, it'd be better for you to never have joined a church than to join a church and that have any weight into helping you believe you're okay for heaven. All church is a place where believers come to worship, a place where we come to grow and get help one from another, but it has nothing, zero, to do with you going to heaven. Zero. So the kind of church members we want is saved church members.
Amen.
Amen. Say, why would you take so much time to deal with it? Jesus handpicked 12 people. Jesus did. And one of them was a devil. So I think Billy Graham said in the late 80s, if he had to surmise, probably 75% of people sitting in churches were lost. I didn't say that. He did. I'm saying we would be so gullible to believe everybody sitting in church pews is saved. So please don't buy it. If you that play baseball, I mentioned Billy Sunday this morning, you can hit the best hit in the world. You knock it out of the park and run the bases and not touch that first base, and you'll be called out. Everything past that is irrelevant. You got to hit first base. You got to repent. You got to believe. If you're going to be part of this church or any church, that's step number one. Amen. Now, look at verse number... Well, it was in verse 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By the way, every believer, when you get saved, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When it's not a second feeling, it's not down the road. You get the gift of the person of the Holy Ghost the moment you get saved.
Amen.
And what a gift that is to have God in you. Then verse 39, such a powerful verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What a promise. That means, boy, that messed the Calvinist doctrine up.
Yeah.
Amen. It's to you and your children and to all them that are afar off. The gospel fits anybody, anywhere. Amen. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Well, we ought to have that verse in bold print memorized. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Boy, that applies today to this generation.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It reminds me of that verse, and it ain't verbatim, but they come another generation that knew not God. Boy, we have lived to see a generation. You think about the church when some of you, I used to say some of you gray-headed people, but some of us gray-headed people, think about the character of Christian people years ago. Would you not agree with me? The church, Christian people, it seemed to have been cheapened. And it's not. I'm talking about on a macro scale. It's not what it used to be, and that's a tragic testimony, but it's the truth.
Amen.
And there's a generation, my children, your children and grandchildren, Jesus is their only hope. Because there is a generation that knows not God, and boy, I'm telling you, it is an untoward generation. And if there's ever been a time you need to be in church, be involved in church, be faithful to church, and be raising your children and grandchildren in church. You say, well, my children's already grown. Well, do you got grandchildren? You may not can make that 18 or 20 year old come if they don't live with you. If they live with you, you can easily make them. But if you have a grandchild, do everything in your power to influence them, to get them here, because they need church. It's so dark out there. It's the only light they can get. You should expose them to this as much as you can. Amen. And when many other words did, he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. What a statement. And all that believed, look at me for a minute, all that believed were together. That would help our church tremendously. Amen. That's the kind, people who want to be together, the opposite of divisive, separated, isolated, but together, unity. That's the kind of church members we want. Amen. Amen. All the believers were together. All that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Over and over and over you see that theme of unity, one mind, one accord, oneness. That is, listen, a house divided cannot stand, and I promise you the thing that will wreck and ruin our church quicker than somebody putting graffiti and tearing down the outside stones and the building and the structure, quicker than termites can tear this building down, will come from people sowing discord and division with the body of believers. You cannot do anything more damaging to our church than to sow division. Amen. Amen, that's right. Oh, he absolutely hates it. I hate it. Amen. I'm going to move on. I don't want to, but I'm going to. Hey, I'll give you my grandma's old saying that's been good for my whole lifetime, and it'll be good for your whole lifetime. If you don't have nothing good to say, just don't say it. That's as nice as I can put it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 With gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Then I read Acts 9:31. I do want to read that again. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Over and over and over, when you read about the adding of the church, people being added to the church multiplying, the church growing, it's God doing the growing. It's God saving sinners. You don't know the most healthy way for our church to grow. I'm not against somebody coming from another church. I know that happens from time to time. There's reasons for that. I've had to do that before in my life, but I'm saying this as a rule of thumb, the best way, the most healthy way for a church to grow is not from people coming from other places. The best way, the way that we read over and over in the Word of God for our church to grow, our focus should be not on proselyting, not on people coming from other places, but getting the gospel to lost and dying sinners, and seeing them converted, being saved and baptized and joining the church. Now, please don't throw a rock at me. I know things happen. I know people come from other places. I have. Matter of fact, I come from another place here. So it happens. I'm not second-rate Christian if that happened to you. And you're just as welcome, and this is just so much your church as it is anybody that's been here from the beginning and saved here. But God's heart, and the best way for our church to grow, is to see sinners saved. That's the plan of God. Amen. Amen. By the way, all growth ain't healthy. I know how to grow a church. I promise you, I could fill the pews up in a hurry. I know how. I've been taught how. But the compromise would be so costly that you wouldn't recognize the place. And furthermore, it wouldn't be worth having. All growth ain't good growth. All growth ain't healthy growth. If you don't believe me, I encourage you. It's deer season. Deers are roaming the streets. You see them everywhere, except for the woods. Ride down the road, and when you see one of them dead rascals that somebody hit and ruined their car, give it a day or two. And if the coyotes don't get it, watch it grow. That sucker will swell up and grow. And that ain't healthy growth. Matter of fact, it's dead. Everything that grows ain't alive. Sprain your ankle. Oh, it'll grow, but it ain't healthy. All growth ain't good growth. Amen. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. We go through periods of time when the church ain't growing. Hey, listen. All growth ain't good growth. Just having more people on more pews. Brother Holbrook said this while he was preaching, that he thanked God for all these big old churches that won't preach nothing and fill themselves up, because it keeps a bunch of hellions out of his church, causing him problems. I ain't never thought about that, but that's pretty good. Anyway, this morning, and we'll hurry, we dealt with the church needs people, number one, that are fully surrendered. And boy, that's so true. Fully surrendered. And then the church needs people that are firmly standing, not wishy-washy, to and fro, steady, faithful. Number three, we'll pick up here tonight. The church needs people who are fighting soldiers. We cannot afford in this day and hour to have three or four on the front lines and everybody else spectating. And sadly, that's the state of most churches. You have a few, a very select few, who are on the front lines and doing 90% of the praying, 90% of the serving, 90% of whatever gets done, it comes from a very elite few. And it's such a wicked day, such a dark, demonic day, that if we're going to have a church that's above average successful, we need people who are willing to put their armor on and get in the battle. Amen. People you can count on. People that you can get in the foxhole with and know they're going to have your six. And people who you know you ain't got to wonder about and worry about. They're going to be there to fight hell with you. Amen. That's the kind of people we need. By way of application, are you that person? Amen. Can I count on you? Can you count on me? We need to be able to count on each other in the battle. Hey, this is not a playground. This is a battlefield we're in. And we need to take it serious, and we need warriors who will fight. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And I don't need to remind you this evening, we are living in a wicked, wicked world. And we are on enemy territory. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. But while we're passing through, we are in a battle zone. And we must fight the good fight of faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness. I want you to listen to these verses, and you know them, but listen to how he words it, and it's so needed. Way better than I could put it, God said it. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Have you ever seen a time when the church was more entangled with the affairs of this world? Yeah. It's hard to fight the battle that's in front of us while we're tangled up and entangled with the affairs of this world. You think about what all demands our attention and our time. When you wake up in the morning, most of you will get up and at the crack of dawn, get up, get ready, and head out to work. That's a priority in your life. That's God wants you to do that. God wants us to work. Man that won't work don't deserve to eat. It's worse than an infidel, the Bible says. And that's a big pull on your time. And you'll get up and you'll go. But you got in the background of work, family, children, and everything else going on in your life. You got that worldwide web walking around in your pocket with you, the TV, the politics. I mean, there is so much stuff, sport. I'm not against all these things. I'm just saying it's a reality. So many things are. Just look back 30 or 40 years and look at how simple life was. There wasn't so much trying to distract you and grab your attention. It was a simple life. Now, it's like all hands on deck. You better be paying attention or you will accidentally get entangled with the affairs of this world. You don't have to take but a step or two to get tangled, because the affairs of this world are everywhere you look, everywhere you walk. And I'm saying we need at this church members who saying, I will fight the good fight of faith. I'll on purpose try my best not to get entangled with the affairs of this world. I know the devil's shooting for me. I know the world's bidding for me. I know my own flesh is against me. But by the grace of God, I have a church counting on me, and I want to pull my weight. I want to have my churches back. I want to fight faithfully for the Lord. I want to make sure my fellow brothers and sisters, if they need me, I'm up for the battle. I'm up for the fight, and I'll be there. That's the mentality we got to have. Because just strolling through life and say, well, we'll just take it as it comes. And if we happen to see an enemy today, well, we'll deal with it then. You ain't going to win. Right. And I don't want you fighting with me on my side if that's your mentality. You know who I want? Somebody who's going to take it serious. Somebody who understands that it's a lethal threat we're going against. Right. Amen. Amen. I really believe, and I've done it my whole life, just like you have. We don't take being a Christian and being a church member near as serious as God does. Yeah. I mean, He warns us, this is a battle. This is a war. Half of the Word of God is war. Warfare. God, that ain't by accident. God didn't put all that war in the Old Testament and all the battles and all the warfare back and forth, good versus evil, God's people versus the devil. All that ain't in there by accident. God's letting us know He's preparing our mind and trying to prepare our hearts. Listen, and especially in the last days, the days that we're living, it's going to get harder, it's going to get worse, and the enemy is going to be ferocious. And if there's ever been a time that we need people that have a mind to go to war and to battle and to look out one for another, especially being a member. Hey, listen, being a member of this church should matter to you.
Amen.
It should mean something. I love Christians everywhere. I do. I was on the phone with a lady this past week. I had to make a phone call. It was a business call. And before I knew it, I said something about the Lord, not meaning to. And this black lady just took about 15 minutes of her time on the clock. And usually they're trying to move it on and just bragged on Jesus. I couldn't get a word in. I tried to say, ma'am, I know you work and got other... And she just gone and on. And I said, ma'am, it sure is good to talk to a Christian. Amen. You don't run into them every day. Amen. And I don't know that woman from Adam's house yet. But I told her, I'll see you one day in heaven if I never see you down here. And I said, I love you, ma'am. You have a blessed day. And I do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't love her like I love you.
Ma'am.
You know why? Because you are my brothers and sisters. This is our house. This is our home. This is where God called us to be. It's just like, and please don't look at me goofy. Please don't look at me goofy. Don't you dare be a hypocrite, you religious thing, you. You don't love my children like you love your children. You just don't. And if you try to say you do, you're a liar. And the truth ain't in you. I love your children, but I'll tell the truth. I don't love them like I love mine. And I love Christians, but I don't love them like I do mine. This church matters. It means something. And be a part of it, to be a member of it, should mean something.
Amen.
It means when you go to war, I'm willing to go to war with you. When you got a battle raging, I'll jump in there and fight with you and fight for you. And when all hell's breaking loose on you, I'll go to the war room. I'll get on my knees alongside you. I'll hold your hands up and I'll pray with you. And I'll do everything in my power. Why? Because we are one family, one body of believers. That's the kind of members we need. Amen. Amen. There's a demonic push like never before in this world. And it's pushing us toward, and you know this, and I've preached on it, and you've heard it preached your whole life, but we've lived to see it. The push toward this great reset, this one, all nations coming together, this one world government is, if you will open your eyes at all and pay attention to what's going on globally, it's as clear to see as anything you've ever looked at. It's unbelievable how fast things are coming together that God said would happen. That we have lived our whole life and never seen any kind of movement. Like, I mean, not even millimeters of movement. Like, you used to would, something would happen in Russia and something would happen in Israel and boy, preachers would preach on it and you just, oh, it'd get goosebumps on you. You'd think, boy, the Lord's coming back now. I mean, He's coming back. And it'd just be, and it'd go, an earthquake would hit. Preacher get up and preach, but earthquakes in divers places, the Lord's coming back. And all that's true. But now, it's like everywhere you look, every day, sign after sign, sign after sign, the appearing and the coming of the Lord is so, so very nigh. And the world is blind. And there's a dimness that's come over this world's eye. And they're just walking like mummies through this world. Groping in darkness. And the devil's using powerful people in high places as puppets to work this one world government and religion and currency into place to set up the coming of the Antichrist. And for that to happen, the church has to become less and less important. And for that to happen, the church is going to become and is becoming more and more attacked.
That's right. Yeah.
I remember in my short ministry of pastoring 15 years, Brother Jackie, I remember preaching against homosexuality and sodomy and some of those sins, and saying, there'll come a day that I'll be threatened to be put in jail for preaching like this.
Yeah.
Guess what? I've already been warned recently You better be careful about putting that on the website. They're suing churches. If that's even mentioned, if a preacher dares to mention. There's four preachers that I know right now in jail in Canada for preaching. That's our northern border. I'm saying there is an assault and an attack like never before. And one or two, three or four in the church standing and fighting is not going to cut it.
Amen.
We need members who will fight and be a good soldier.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the church needs people that are fully surrendered, firmly standing, fighting soldiers, faithful servants. We need faithful servants. And I could preach on this till Jesus comes, literally. Faithful. 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 Boy, what a word. We need some faithful church members who are willing to serve. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You hear on Sunday night, and I applaud that. But I'm saying to you, hey, listen. The mentality of most churches today, as I said this morning, are give me, feed me, help me, nurture me, pacify me, do for me. And the word servant might as well be removed from the church dictionary. Serve? How are you going to serve me? Me serve? Yes, you, and faithfully. Yes, me. The church is made up of servants who should be faithful at it. That is not just my opinion. Let me give you some Bible. Some of y'all look like I'm preaching from an NIV Bible or something. Serve? Say what? Matthew 25:21, right out of your King James Bible. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You don't have to be the most, hey, listen, you don't have to be the most talented person. You say, "Well, I just can't do much. I can't sing. I can't." Quit worrying about what you can't do. I'll tell you what you can do. You don't have to have talent. You don't have to have special gifts. Let me tell you what everybody here, every member here can do. Tell me, preacher, what can I do? Okay, I'll tell you, be faithful. Serve. Everybody can serve. You can hold a door open. You can, this morning, I come up here, and I ain't saying this. I'm not mad about it at all. I ain't above it at all. I plunged toilets last week, and I appreciate the ones who've been working on them today. But whoever's using them toilets, not flushing them, you let me catch you doing it, I might church you. And if it's your children, you teach them at home how to do that business. Flush.
Amen.
But I come up here this morning, suit and tie, had my mind on preaching, prayed up and ready to preach this morning. And I had Brother Stephen and Brother J.D. come up here and move all that hay and pumpkins and stuff, to changing of the seasons. Well, and I appreciate y'all doing that, I do. But there's a bunch of hay out there. And people was tracking it in this Sunday morning. Miss Sandy done cleaned the church, got everything. I said, "My goodness, if that hay stayed out there on that front porch, it's going to be hay all in the church." So I went and found a broom. And while you're sitting in Sunday school this morning, you know what I'm saying? I'm simply saying, I'm the preacher. I ain't above sweeping. If I see hay somewhere, or I'll pick it up. You know why? Because it's just the Lord's. I'm going to serve where there needs to be serving. And you shouldn't be above it. How many of you walked past all that hay getting in the church this morning and thought, "Well, somebody will do it"? Look around. It ain't hard. If you see a toilet stopped up, get a plunger. If you see a candy wrapper, pick it up. If you see somebody who's having trouble walking, offer to go get their car. I hope you young people listen, you preachers. Amen. Amen, that's right. I'm saying, hey, listen, they so much. Ask some of our seniors. Ask some of our widows. I'm giving personal illustrations because that's all I know how to give right now. That's all that's coming to my mind. I don't say this for glory, but ask Miss Fern back there. Miss Fern, I just happened to ride by our house earlier this year. Thank the Lord, the grass ain't growing no more. The cold's got it. But her grass was high. And I asked her, I said, Miss Fern, who's cutting your grass? And she was having trouble getting. So I've been going to cut her grass. When I have a running lawnmower, I'll go cut her grass. You know why? Not because she asked. She wouldn't ask. But there's a place of service. That's something that needs to be done. That's one of our church members. She don't need to be out there trying to cut her own grass or having to pay somebody to do it. I've about said something that's private and I can't say. I'm just simply saying, look around. Find somebody to serve. It'll amaze you how much it'll help you to serve somebody else. Look at how good God's been to you. And take some of your time and some of your ability and say, how can I make my church better? There's a church here locally. I'll just say the name, Browns Chapel Baptist Church. I saved there, called to preach there years ago, 1991. Well, that church, it had whittled down to about not much. I mean, it wasn't much. Well, a new preacher come along, and he got the idea, we're going to serve the community. And within about 2 years, they were exploding. I mean, they didn't have nowhere to seat people because they just went around to the community building ramps for people, feeding people, just being good to people, helping people. And I'm saying it didn't take long for the word to get out. That church loves people. Wonder, hey, listen, I don't agree with everything that goes on at Brown's Chapel. I love the place. I thank God for the place. But we don't see eye to eye on everything. But that don't mean they didn't do something good. Amen. They absolutely did. And we could learn from that. Amen. There's a community out here. I'm preaching about what our church needs. But listen, we can't forget there's a community of people out there who would love for somebody to serve them, be faithful to do it in love and show them the love of Christ. Amen. Asking nothing in return. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. You say, well, I do that. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Hudson Taylor, you ever heard of him? He said, the Lord was looking for a weak enough man to use, and he found me. Hudson Taylor said that, one of the greatest missionaries. He said, the Lord was looking for a weak enough man to use, and he found me. I'm saying you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be the best at anything. God takes the base things of the world and confounds the wise. Just be faithful. Be willing to serve. Listen, D.L. Moody said he was an uneducated man and was never ordained to be a preacher, but they said that Moody was, they said about him that he robbed hell of over 1 million souls. An uneducated, unordained, faithful servant of God. Listen to his mentality. This is what D.L. Moody also said. We are usually too big for God to use, but we are never too small. What a statement. We are usually too big for God to use, but never too small. Boy, that just popped a bunch of prideful balloons. Well, I just wouldn't do that. That's beneath. Hey, there'll not be nothing beneath you. Amen. Amen. And listen, these people, church members here that's rolling through my mind that come up here when nobody's looking and do things. And I could call your name out right now and say thank you for it. But God keeps good records and He knows. And I thank you for serving your church and being faithful to do it.
Amen.
So look around. Find a place to serve. Sing in a choir. Teach Sunday school class. Come to Sunday school. Let me tell you, What a be a blessing. Probably way more than you ever dreamed. And I know this personally. Everybody ain't a Sunday school teacher. Everybody ain't a preacher. But Sunday school teachers have to have somebody to teach to. You know what I'm going to tell you how to be a blessing to your Sunday school teacher? Be there. Be faithful. You know how I know that? Because I have been a Sunday school teacher. And you don't know how to bless your preacher? Come to church and be faithful and say, hey, what you got to say from that book, I want to hear. I want to be faithful and I'm going to be there. And guess what that does to me? It encourages me. And when you ain't there, the devil's in my ear. Boy, I bet they mad. I bet they done left the church. I bet they've had enough of you. They sick and tired of hearing your boring preaching. And on and on and on he goes. Yeah. But when you're there like clockwork, boy, that's an encouragement to me. Amen. And that's an encouragement to a Sunday school teacher. That's an encouragement to the choir when you're there. Whatever you're part of, and you should be part of something that you're faithfully serving. Amen. I'll give you this. A preacher named Josiah Elliott preached 40 years out in the country and always begged God to let him go out into the city, preach one of them big city churches. But he was way back in the sticks, little old country church, 40 years. The Lord never did let him go to the city and preach or pastor, but he stayed faithful and served way out in the country and trained many young preachers. And one of those young preachers was Dr. George Truett, which was one of the greatest preachers in the history of preaching. And he come out of that little old country church where this preacher who wanted to go somewhere bigger and brighter and better stayed faithful right where he was. And through that, God raised up great, mighty men. So you never know the field you're sowing in. Just keep sowing. Keep being faithful. Keep teaching that Sunday school class. Keep preaching. Keep singing. Keep serving faithfully. And it pays to be faithful. Amen. Almost finally. The church needs people that are fully surrendered, firmly standing, fighting soldiers, faithful servants. You want to tell you what our church needs? People who are a friend of sinners. Amen. That's what we need. You know, you can't be more like Jesus than when you're a friend of sinners. Amen. They mocked him and ridiculed Jesus. Brother Duckett, when he'd go to help sinners, they'd say, oh, look at him. They said just the opposite about John the Baptist, but said about Jesus, he sits down and eats with sinners and publicans. And, that's what the religious people said. That's what religious people still say.
Amen.
If that even crosses your mind, just mark it up. Sir, ma'am, you done got too religious. And not in a good way. When we get away from having a love for sinners, I don't care how low they are. I don't care how bad off they are. Listen, it don't matter. Hey, listen, do you remember where God found you?
Yes, sir.
Do you recall how low you've been?
Yes, sir. Amen.
On your worst day, in your darkest hour, in your wickedest dreams, you remember? Oh, those things that you would never tell anybody about. Remember how filthy, vile, low down, wretched you was? Ain't you glad?
Thank you,
Jesus. Jesus is a friend of sinners.
Amen.
And if He can be as holy and pure and white as He is,
Amen. Surely
under heaven, somebody who's lived in sin and been a sinner and still is, we can love sinners.
Amen.
This church ought to be known above all else as being a church that loves sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I don't care what side of the tracks. I don't care what they drive, what they can give. If they'll come to this church, if we can get them to this church, we ought to love them.
Amen.
Don't matter what color. It don't matter. They have a soul that needs saving, and we should love them to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This church needs people that are a friend of sinners. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Luke 19:5 said, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." They said, when they saw it, they said. You know who the they is? That's the brethren. That's the cliques. That's the hierarchy at the church. Make me sick. When you get too good for people, you done got too good for me. Amen. Amen. Say, but they, you ought not bring them kids in here on them bands. You talking the wrong person, the wrong language. We'll put as much gas in them bands to hold and take them as many times as they'll go. Well, they'll destroy our pews, our pretty pews. We'll buy more pews. They'll mess up our carpet. We can replace carpet. They have a soul that needs preaching to. And if you had any idea, if you'd just let your mind go back and remember how you was and where you was and how... Listen, some of these children, the highlight of their week is getting to come to a clean environment.
Amen. That's right.
Around people who act like they love them.
Yes,
not getting cussed at and stuff thrown at them, beer bottles slung across the room, cussing and fighting and carrying on and drugs, pornography, playing on the TV. Don't look at me. Hey, I'm telling you, that's what a lot of these kids in this town live in every day.
Amen.
And we ought to be ashamed that we ain't doing more.
Amen.
Not ashamed of who we're bringing in. We ought to be ashamed we're not getting more.
Amen.
And making more of an attempt to get them in. And amen. We ought to love sinners. Next time you see that drug addict on the side of the road, say, "Well, I knew he'd be back at it. I knew he wouldn't amount to much." Hey, listen. I believe this with all my heart. If Jesus was walking this planet today, that'd be the very people he'd be talking to.
Amen. That's right.
I believe he'd walk right on by the religious places, so full of pride, it stinks in the nostrils of God, and he'd find those down and outers because he's a friend of sinners.
Amen.
And if Jesus is, we need people at this church and members at this church who, like Jesus, love sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Okay. I was about to move on, but I got to say this. I saw Preacher Kerrigan's name. I had on my notes. How we love sinners. We reach out to them. What can you do? We need the kind of people who love sinners and are willing to go get them.
Amen.
Witness to them. Talk to them. Tell them. Take some of your time. And what I had Preacher Kerrigan's name about there. Hey, listen. Do you know how... I thought about this today and it blew my mind. The preacher, Andrew Kerrigan, who pastored faithfully here for 50 years. Many of you were saved under his ministry. Had it not been for a little gospel tract that somebody was willing to stop and hand out to him, none of this wouldn't be here.
Amen.
None of it. Most of us, if not all of us, would not be here.
Amen.
But because somebody was willing to hand out a gospel tract, which we hardly ever hear, let alone stop and take our time to pick some up back there and give to people. So, they just throw them in the trash. You know what Preacher Kerrigan did with his? Throwed it in his car. Didn't read it until he did. I could tell you testimony after testimony of people who's picked tracks up out of the trash can that people have discarded, read them, got saved.
Amen.
But I'm simply saying, we as a church who know Preacher Kerrigan got saved off of a gospel track. If there's any church in America that ought to get their pockets full of gospel tracts and be faithful to give them out because we love sinners, it ought to be this one. For no other reason, the fact that Preacher Andrew Kerrigan, that's what it took. That's all it took. Was a little piece of paper that somebody was willing to say, I love sinners enough to stop and take 2 seconds of my time and give them the gospel. But I can't talk, but I'm backwards. Can you take your tip out, put it in a tract, and put it on the table? Everybody shaking their head this way, then why under heaven is all them tracts still sitting back there? Untouched. Can somebody explain that to me? Mystifies me. I ain't replacing them in a while, so either they're multiplying on their own, or go figure, they ain't moving. Amen. Every time you walk by that, I love you. It's a big old picture of Preacher Kerrigan right there on the other side of that wall. See his face when I see that? I think about him. Think about his ministry. Think about what he's poured into me. I love him. Yeah. But right over there, near him, them gospel tracts. Every time you look at that picture, you ought to think, I need to stop and grab me some tracts. Because his picture wouldn't be on that wall if it wasn't for them tracts. And this building wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them tracts. And that building wouldn't be here, and that building wouldn't be here, and a whole lot of people wouldn't be saved, and all that money goes to missions wouldn't be going had not one little old gray-headed man give out a tract. Amen. Hey, I love you. I want us to be the best church we can be. I do. But when's the last time you loved a sinner enough to tell them about a Savior? We say we love our family, and we do. I ain't knocking that. But we talk to them about the ball game, hunting and fishing. But when's the last time you told your family that you know is probably headed for hell? When's the last time you talked to them about Jesus? So, well, I have, but they just won't listen. Hey, they won't until they do. And more we need to be telling. What about that coworker? Sometimes we work with people for years. I remember people to this day. That I worked at a Ford dealership with a long time ago. At several Ford dealerships. I got pictures going through my mind of people that I became friends with, coworkers that I worked with, that I know that they headed for hell at breakneck speed. And I still think about it because I work with them day in and day out, spent untold hours and hours and hours. People that I come to love that are headed for hell. And I'm simply saying, while you can, when you can, share the gospel with them. Love your coworkers enough to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You wish you did. You wish you did. As many I wish I have, and now it's too late. I have nightmares. One boy in particular, I've told you before, I won't tell you tonight, but I wake up cold sweats, saying, boy named Jason, burning in hell. He's there. He told me he's going and laughed about it. And the Lord nudged me to go witness to him. At college, and I thought, all them guys around, they cool, and this little, I can't do that. Lord, just clearly, you need to go witness to him. He's over there taking the Lord's name in vain. All of them gathered up, talking about partying, was leaving for the break at college. I said, I can't do that, Lord. And I grieved God when he clearly nudged me to tell him. I mean, it was like abnormal, unusual. Go. I didn't. 8 weeks later, I come back, second class deathly quiet. Nobody laughing, nobody talking, which was weird for a college class. And see, they had all heard, and I hadn't. That day, the Lord, we was all leaving 8 weeks prior, God told me twice, go witness to him. And I didn't. That day, He got in his little old, I remember his truck, a little blue two-tone Chevy S10 truck, chrome rims. He pulled out and left Spartanburg Tech College and went toward Walterboro and hit a fence. The fence post come through his windshield and impaled him. And his truck caught on fire, and he went to hell on fire. And God nudged me hard hours before he went to hell. And I did not. So while you can, when you can, love a sinner enough to tell them Jesus loves them and he died for them, he'll save them. Yeah. Amen. So well, you never know. He might have rejected that. Yeah, he might have, but he might not have. And it wouldn't have been on my hands and in my conscience. Amen. Amen. Knock on the door, witness to a co-worker and family. Finally. And all God's people said, amen. We need church members and people at this church who look forward to the second coming of the Lord. And I've already mentioned this, so I'm not going to belabor it. But let me read these familiar verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to close with this illustration, but I'm going to read you this last verse, 2 Timothy. It matters. Hey, listen, it matters that you're looking for his coming. So much so, I believe this all my heart. If you ever get a Christian to really looking for him to come, you don't have to worry about their life.
Amen. Yeah.
If you think the Lord's coming soon, your life is going to be clean.
Amen.
If you think you're going to have to stand before God soon, that he's coming soon, see, we put it off like, oh, it's way out there. We can get by. But if you ever get focused on his coming, and I believe God put this in the Bible for a reason. And there's a crown for those who love his appearing. It's a big thing to wake up every day and think about, this could be the day. We need church members that think today could be the day that the Lord comes. Because I promise you, it'll make you witness more. It'll make you be more faithful. Everything I've preached that we need them kind of members, this one will make you do if you really look for his coming and anticipate it being today. If you had 24 hours before you met the Lord, reckon your day would be different? Oh, yeah. Yeah. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. If you go to Tennessee and leave, if you leave here tonight and you go to Tennessee, when you get on 26 up here and you start heading toward North Carolina, you might see a sign that says Tennessee, I don't know, I'm just making up, a long ways from here. It ain't so far that I won't go every now and then, but it's so many miles. And then you get on up toward North Carolina, and you see another Tennessee, so many miles, and it's getting closer. And the closer you get, the more signs you start seeing. Tennessee, Tennessee, Tennessee. And by the time you get almost to Tennessee, about everything you see is a sign that says Tennessee. And I'm simply saying to you, there are signs popping everywhere, and it ain't long distance. Like, we got a long journey to go before Jesus comes. We are there.
Good.
We're there, and we need to live like, we need church members who'll wake up in the morning and say, today could be the day, and I'm gonna live like it.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. Lord, thank you for this church, God. I bless your name, for a church of people that love you, want to live for you, be faithful to you. Lord, help us to serve you faithfully, God. I pray. Take your word, apply it to our heart, add it to our faith, Lord, and our faith to your service. God, I pray you bless, save any lost sinner here tonight or that'll hear this over the radio or broadcast, Lord. Pray you touch, encourage, strengthen, help us, Lord, this week. God, as we go our separate ways tonight, I pray you touch. Help us, Lord. Bless us. We love him. We thank you, God. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed.